I'm Pete Spike, and owner of the Orange Shop in Citra, Florida.
Quickly go over what you grow, how much land you have, and what you do out here.
We're in the gift fruit business, so we primarily grow specialty varieties, navels and mandarins. We ship them as gift fruit around the country, as well as sell them in our store and squeeze them to make fresh juice.
So you have some experiment here right behind your shop going on out there. Talk about what you're doing out there and what you're looking at.
Well, HLB is the number one issue here in Florida, and so what we started to do a number of years ago was to test all the variety and rootstocks that were introduced from California and developed by USDA and IFAS, University of Florida. And in our test, we chose to not try to treat them for HLB. We just fertilize them with a slow-release fertilizer and irrigate and herbicide, and that's it. And we're looking for varieties that have some level of natural tolerance themselves, and those are the ones we want to use to center our business around.
What are some of those ones that are doing okay out there so far?
Fortunately, the navels and honeybells, Mineola tangelos that we use mostly, are both doing quite well. Some of the tangerine varieties, not the main ones, but Page, Nova, Robinson, and the early Pride tangerines are all doing well. Temple oranges are doing well, Ortoniques, and a few other varieties.
There's a California one that's doing pretty well over here, showing some resistance.
Gold Nugget seems to have some resistance. Shiranui or Sumo is variable. It depends on the rootstock. Some of the California Shasta Gold, Tahoe Gold, actually don't have much tolerance at all. The ones we planted just basically died. So I think there's a message in there for California.
You also had some USDA ones out there that look pretty good as well, too, right?
Yes, the USDA Early Pride is a really nice tangerine. It's a seedless fall glow early season variety. It does well here in Florida.
You were talking about why Florida growers have been able to stay in business, how they make the juice and stuff like that, but that's not going to work for California. Kind of go into that again.
The predominant part of the Florida orange industry are for juice, and with juice, they squeeze the oranges and they reblend and reconstitute till they get the kind of flavors that they want. Whereas with the fresh fruit business, every orange has to stand on its own. It's not a matter of blending the good and the bad. You can only ship the good. So in that case, if part of the oranges on the tree are not up to par, then you can't sell them. And therefore, if a California tree is infected with HLB, not only is your production going to be reduced, but the amount of usable fruit is reduced to the point where the chances are you won't be able to stay in business.
So what's your message for California growers? You talked about how they have to do this, right?
Yes. I mean, we traveled the world in 2006, 2008, looking at China and South Africa, and it is universally true that if you remove the infected trees and you're aggressive about that, your annual tree losses are going to be in the 3-4% range, and you replant trees back in the HLB free grove, so you don't have to do anything special to grow them. And at that point, it's life exactly as you know it today. And if you were to not remove the trees and allow greening to become established in California, then the Florida methods we're using to grow juice fruit simply won't work out there because you're in the fresh fruit business. So you only have one choice, and that is control the psyllids for as long as you can, but sooner or later it's going to get loose. And when you see it, you must go to the barn that day, get a chainsaw, and chop down that tree. And if anybody's thinking anything different, then you really need to reconsider, because it is the only option. And we know for a fact that it can work. If Florida had done that in the first place, we would be far better off than we are today, even if we'd had to remove a third of our trees.
Yeah, that's what you were saying, that those trees would be 10 years old now if you guys would have done that from the beginning, pre-plants.
Yeah, if we'd have gone out in 2006, 7, and 8 and removed 30% of the trees in the state, which are now gone anyway, and replanted new trees, those trees would have been 10 years old and be free of greening. So our production would have stayed higher and our costs would have been much lower and life would have been a lot better.
Some of your trials out here, you said that there's even a difference in the rootstock and the scion. That makes a difference.
Yeah, rootstock is turning out to have a pretty profound effect on the tolerance of any scion. So the University of Florida has released a series of UFR rootstocks that are showing some tolerant to HLB, and USDA has released a couple. And our goal is to plant a fairly tolerant variety on a tolerant rootstock and not really use the extensive production practices people are using today for greening. We want to get back to the economics the way they were before we got HLB.
And that's what the goal is here, is to find something that you can grow at a reasonable cost.
Yeah, we think we've identified that. We're in the process of replanting now, and the plan is in the next few years we'll replant all the groves we have. And we're also working with grower cooperators from whom we purchase fruit for our gift shipping businesses to help them get reestablished in these better varieties and rootstocks so that we can continue to move forward.
Talk about the slow-release fertilizer. How does that work, and what's the benefits of that you've seen?
For Florida, where we have HLB-infected trees, as it turns out, fertilizing with conventional fertilizer doesn't work as well because the tree's ability to take up nutrients and move them around in the tree are impaired by the HLB. So what we're finding is that we use controlled-release materials because they release nutrients on a more gradual basis, basically every day. It's keeping the trees better supplied with nutrients, and they're doing a lot better. So in an HLB world, it's pretty apparent that a controlled release fertilizer is going to be a cornerstone method to growing good trees.
Take home message here is, if you see it in California, you got to pull it.
Hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is to look at the first greening tree in your grove and believe in your heart that the thing you have to do is go cut that tree down today. You don't have to ask your neighbors or ask the government. It is in your own best interest to remove that tree, because if you do and replant another one, then tomorrow will be okay. But if you don't, then tomorrow is going to bring a picture that you're not going to want to be a part of.
You had another adage out there about replanting, about how today's going to be, what was that what you were saying?
Well, in the case of Florida, we were talking about planting new trees, and what I had said in a letter to the editor in the magazine is that if we don't plant any new trees in Florida, then today is the best day we'll ever have. And our production is going to continue to fall as the old trees that are infected, you know, produce less and succumb. So if we want tomorrow to be better than today, the only way to do that is to put new trees in the ground. But the smart way to do that is to plant varieties and rootstocks that are tolerant, and then use production practices that are appropriate to that.